The hot beverage segment in the vending industry suffered the biggest one-year decline in 2009 of any product segment besides vending food and manual feeding. The hot beverage segment has been hurting for years due primarily to falling worksite populations. Another contributing factor cited by many operators has been the commensurate increase in office coffee service. We're here today to address the hot beverage segment with players from different industry backgrounds. We have Mike Nugent, General Manager of the Vending Group at Canteen Vending in Middletown, Pennsylvania, and his colleague Andy Calhoun, General Manager of the Canteen Refreshment Services in Middletown, Pennsylvania. We also have two product suppliers, Jack Martin, National Accounts Manager of Nestle Beverage Company, and Loch McElhaney, Channel Manager for Starbucks Coffee Company. We also have a product distributor, Greg McChesney, Corporate Merchandise Manager of Vistar Corporation. Mike Nugent of Canteen Vending, let me begin with you. Our research at Automatic Merchandiser indicates that even where hot beverage vending machines have remained on location, the sales have declined. Has that been true in your experience?
Well, I think you have to factor in what's happening with the same store sales. Is there any economic decline going on in the market, or is it remaining stable, or is it up? And there are only about three or four of them in the country that are up.
Okay.
For our particular case, that's not really what's happened. We've had two of our largest customers that had free VIN coffee for their employees decide to take it off free VIN and put it back at retail price. So that kind of skews the numbers a little bit because they obviously consume more when it's free. But if you take those accounts out, those two accounts out, we're actually staying the same as a percentage of sales, and our same store sales right now is marginally down this year. It's down about, well, it's less than 1% down, and the last 4 or 5 months have been trending up. So we really are probably doing better with VIN coffee this year than we have in the past.
Okay. And can you tell me why that is?
Because we're good? Is that a good
okay.
answer?
No. All right.
I can tell you some of the things we've done. We've got several programs, several offerings out there. We kind of go with, I'll call it a blue-collar coffee, and we'll have a blue-collar brand. We'll have an upgraded brand that goes just a little bit above that and a premier brand. Not trying to name any names here, but we do differentiate depending on what the clients want.
Okay.
And we also have a fairly extensive tea and energy drink-type hot beverage offering out there. The real thing is we decided to reinvest in it, so we have some additional new equipment out there, some more state-of-the-art equipment, especially in the larger accounts. It's expensive to do it, but you've got to do it. What we find they're looking for, and every clientele is looking for something a little bit different, they're looking for consistent quality, and they're looking for sanitary environment to buy their product from. And so that's the things we put our emphasis on.
Okay. Now, I know that one of the things your company does that a lot of vending companies don't do is you do have product-branded machines. Do you
think that's
important?
It is, but it's not. There's three separate brands that we're dealing with right now, so it's not necessarily putting a brand on the machine. I mean, Highland Estates is sort of a specific to Canteen, so that would become a Canteen-branded item, but that's not the only item we're selling.
Uh-huh. Okay. Jack Martin of Nestle, your company, speaking of branded machines, your company had a branded machine program some years ago. Has that program continued?
We have continued it, Elliot. The emphasis of it has changed a little bit. When we first got into it, we were really focusing more on the education channel. But again, the economics of the channel are such that it's really difficult to make the machine pay out. So what we've done now is really kind of go where the opportunity is. It could be a commercial or a education type location where it could fit the bill for what we're looking for. So again, we still have them on the vending side, and we still have the vending portfolio that we have. However, a lot of our emphasis has moved over into the office coffee side to play on what you had talked about earlier regarding, you know, the fact that the numbers seem to be at least holding their own over there.
Okay. And does your company break out the hot beverage vending sales from the office coffee service sales?
Generally, yes. We're able to do it by SKU. So as you follow the business, you know, through the distributor, you're able to kind of figure out exactly where the product is going simply by which product it is.
Mm-hmm. And has your company done any research to indicate whether or not the decline in hot beverage vending is due to the growth in coffee service?
I tend to think that the economics of the vending program were such that, plus, you know, the overall economic situation, really were kind of detrimental to growth of that particular vending program. We think that, again, with what we're doing and what our future direction is going to be, we feel that the office coffee piece fits better with what we're doing. And, you know, that's basically the way that we want to chase it.
Okay. Let me move now to Locke McElhaney of Starbucks. Starbucks is a fairly new player in the hot beverage vending segment with its Seattle's Best coffee machine. Locke, what do you think vending operators can do to improve hot beverage vending sales?
Thanks, Elliot. Before I answer that specific question, we got to take into account one major consumer trend that's been occurring for some time. While the vending hot beverage market has been declining, away from home premium coffee sales have been rising. And that's happening because consumers are now looking for great coffee everywhere. And as you know, this trend's being fueled by the successes of quality coffee shops like the ones from my company, Starbucks and Seattle's Best Coffee. In fact, Seattle's Best Coffee, they're focusing on bringing consumers better coffee everywhere, even at the places like it hasn't been before, Subway and Burger King. So in sum, if a vending operator really wants to drive sales increases for their hot beverage program, in my opinion, they need to offer a quality premium branded program that consumers know and trust. And if they do that, consumers will buy the coffee and they can drive sales. So net-net is vending operators need to follow the trends that's been happening in the rest of the away-from-home coffee market.
Okay. And Locke, how have vending operators in general responded to the Seattle's Best coffee machine?
The response has been pretty good, Elliot. We're only in our third week of taking orders for the machines, and we're quite pleased.
Okay. Starbucks has been active in the office coffee service market for some time. Does the office coffee service business remain a strong one for Starbucks?
Absolutely for us. The growth of premium coffee in the office coffee market is helping us, and we're helping to fuel it. So it is definitely a strong market for us.
Okay. So far, the discussion has noted there's a lot of challenge in the hot beverage vending segment. Greg McChesney of Vistar, are there any products within the hot beverage vending segment that are showing growth at this time?
Yeah, it's kind of along the same lines of what you know, people like Locke have mentioned, and that is people are looking for a higher quality coffee these days. So, you know, quote unquote, vend coffee has always had some bit of a stigma to it, and it's refreshing to hear about people like Canteen that are reinvesting in, you know, higher technologies in the equipment, putting out some higher brands. And branding those machines so that when a person walks up to that machine, they don't have to be afraid that they're going to get a cup of quote-unquote Ben coffee. So I think that's where we've seen the biggest growth in Ben.
Okay. And, Greg, what do you see as the key consumer trends driving the on-site coffee market?
On-site in terms of OCS?
And vending.
And vending. Yeah, again, to the points made earlier, people have definitely had their taste buds change over the course of a few years, thanks to people like Starbucks. So there's definitely been a tremendous step up in the quality that people are expecting, either out of a vending machine or out of their OCS, as well as the single cup or single brew systems that are out there that still continue to grow in double-digit numbers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Coming back to Canteen, Andy Calhoun of Canteen Refreshments, your company has a pretty aggressive OCS program. Given the cost pressures facing location managers today because of the recession, are locations still willing to pay a premium for good quality coffee?
We found that in the last year, that's declining. It's about the economy. And as Mike mentioned, with free vended coffee, we've had quite a number of companies that were giving coffee away free are now either charging for it or not giving it away. So it's definitely affected us. There's a certain segment that'll buy, you know, obviously they buy the premium coffee, but on the other hand, they're watching their budgets, and that has an effect on it too.
Has that had any impact on the growth of the single cup systems?
Well, of course, the big player in single cup is you can buy it anywhere. You can buy it online. You can go to the grocery store. You can buy it. That has definitely affected us.
In what way?
Well, someone, if we put a machine in a location, a brewer in a location, then a person can buy it a little bit, you know, less expensive through email purchases or in a store, and they're using our machine and their cup, so it affects us that way.
Has that been a big problem of consumers?
Yeah, it's growing more and more because the big company is allowing their product to be sold at a lot of different places, and it definitely has an effect on us.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a good product. Everybody likes it, and we sell a lot of it, but I'm starting to see somewhat of a decline.
Okay. And does your company see a place for the manual pod brewers?
Did you say pod?
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's an alternative to the type of system that you're referring to as being available in so many different outlets, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
But I would like to say that up until recently, there hasn't been a very reliable pod brewer that is affordable. Now that's out on the market and it's being tested and being used. So I think more people are going to start using pods than have been in the past.
Okay. Jack Martin at Nestle, what is your company's position on coffee pods in the coffee service market?
We see it as something that has definitely got upside potential to it. We have a separate division right now that is in it. Of course, Nespresso has been in it for years. And the Swiss had done an awful lot of research with the program prior to introducing it in the U.S. So to answer your question, yes, we see this as something that really helps us with the upscale perception that we want to be able to tell to the customer when we put one of these machines out. We think it fits perfectly.
Uh-huh. Is the Nespresso machine something that's gotten a lot of traction in the U.S.?
Yes. Yes, okay. It has. It's a separate division of ours. However, we have a kind of a collegial ongoing relationship with them. We know what they're doing, and we try to work together where we can.
Uh-huh. Okay. Luck from Starbucks, your company's been in the single cup business for a while with the interactive brewer. Is that program growing?
Yes, Elliot, that program is growing still, as well as our traditional office coffee. We've expanded the program to include Seattle's best coffee, and we will continue to innovate in that realm.
Uh-huh. And how about the credit card single cup units. Have they gotten any traction?
Yes, we just introduced those in the last year, and we have seen some good success in particular segments, and we are continuing to work to develop that technology.
Okay. All right, I think that pretty much covers the questions. I'll just go around the panel one more time. Coming back to Mike Nugent and Andy Calhoun at Canteen, are there any other points regarding hot beverage vending or coffee service that are worth noting at this point?
The only thing I would say, just like I said a minute ago, the consumer is looking for something that is consistent and has quality. And I think that came out from everybody that talked today. We talk it up all the time when we go out there. We don't talk about it being, well, you can't afford this, so we're going to give you vended coffee. We talk about the benefits of the vending coffee, and we also help sell the office coffee for Andy's group, too. So we got everything we can possibly sell. We've got a full wagon to sell out of. But I think that's the thing we try to accent is newer equipment, innovative equipment. We've got a lot of credit card readers out on our vending machines right now, and kind of leading the country, I guess, in the number we've got out, and it seems to be working very well to us.
Thank
you. Andy, any other parting comments at this point?
No. Our office coffee is growing by leaps and bounds. We started off real small, and we're in the central Pennsylvania area, so all the people that are on the call, we certainly get cooperation from them.
Okay. Greg McChesney at Vistar, any final thoughts?
Just to kind of reiterate, I guess, what everybody's actually have already mentioned, and that is from a coffee standpoint, people are looking for certainly a better cup than what they had been getting for years. And again, in large part, I think we have our friends at Starbucks to thank for that. And that helps everybody because that just brings up really the pricing of what we deliver day in and day out to these facilities. Secondly, the single brewer, the single cup systems, when I say systems, that certainly includes the pods. And that's something that I've definitely seen in recent history that has gained more attention and interest.
Okay. And Greg, are you optimistic about the coffee service industry's future?
Oh, absolutely. We certainly saw some downturn in the last year or two, particularly with the economy, and some of that was people, which was also mentioned earlier, either getting rid of it or cutting out certain components of their service, things like that. But I strongly feel that it's going to come back and be a very strong growth segment for us.
Okay. Jack Martin at Nestle, are you optimistic about the future, and do you have any other final thoughts?
Yes, Elliot. First of all, yes, I am very optimistic about the future. As you know, I've been in the business for many years and watched a lot of the cycles go up and down. We're very fortunate right now because with what we're doing and, again, with what I'm doing with focusing on the office coffee business and, in particular, this new coffee-made multi-serve product that we have, I think that it fits with what office coffee operators are doing, and I'm personally very pleased to see the upscale movement within the product itself, within offices. We've got to keep them in offices. We can't have them, going out, leaving the property, and we think that the idea of being able to get the brands that they know is going to keep them in the office, and it's a nice perk for the office worker also to know that the office is taking care of them with something that's got an upscale perception. So long story short, yes, we are optimistic, and we want to continue to see this go the way it is with the heavy brand perception at the office level.
Okay. All right, gentlemen, I thank all of you for your participation.
Thank you.